J. Oswald Sanders' Spiritual Leadership has become a cornerstone text for Christian leaders worldwide, earning praise from influential figures like Charles Colson, John Maxwell, and Nancy Lee DeMoss. What makes this book stand apart in the crowded leadership genre is its radical countercultural premise. True leadership springs not from ambition or technique, but from character, spiritual depth, and dependence on Christ. Since its publication, this book has quietly shaped generations of ministry leaders who discovered that the path to genuine influence runs directly through surrender and service. Beloved by pastors and missionaries alike, Sanders' work remains timeless because it addresses not what leaders do, but who they fundamentally are. Leadership ambition exists in a paradoxical tension. On one hand, Paul calls leadership an honorable ambition, 1 Timothy 3:1, suggesting it's worthy to desire such influence. Yet Jeremiah warns against seeking great things for yourself, Jeremiah 45:5, indicating the motive behind our ambition matters profoundly. The difference lies in what we're truly seeking. In Paul's day, leadership meant hardship and persecution, not prestige. Those who desired leadership positions faced the prospect of imprisonment, rejection, and even martyrdom. How different from today's world, where leadership often represents status, power, and influence. Jesus established a revolutionary standard for leadership that still challenges our natural inclinations. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. This inverts the typical leadership pyramid. The spiritual leader's ambition isn't to accumulate titles or power, but to serve God and others sacrificially. Count Zinzendorf, who launched the modern missionary movement, captured this spirit perfectly. "I have one passion. It is He. He alone." Such single-minded devotion represents the heart of spiritual leadership, an ambition directed not toward self-advancement, but toward advancing Christ's kingdom. Have you examined your leadership ambitions lately? Do they center on building your reputation or on serving others regardless of recognition? The answer reveals whether your ambition is truly honorable. Throughout history, God has actively searched for men and women after His own heart. When found, He uses them to their fullest potential despite their flaws. Moses had a temper. David committed grievous sins. Peter denied Christ, yet God transformed each into extraordinary leaders. Today's church desperately needs authoritative, spiritual, and sacrificial leaders who speak with clarity and conviction. But such leadership cannot be elected, appointed, or self-manufactured. It comes through divine calling and qualification. The path to spiritual authority requires prayer, tears, confession of sin, heart-searching, self-surrender, and complete devotion to Christ. As Samuel Bringle wisely noted, spiritual authority is not won by promotion, but by many prayers and tears. It is attained by confessions of sin and much heart-searching and humbling before God, by self-surrender, a courageous sacrifice of every idol, and a bold delight in the Holy Spirit. This explains why true spiritual leaders are rare and precious. The journey demands too much surrender for those seeking merely position or power. Yet for those willing to pay the price, the impact is immeasurable. Consider the profound responsibility of leadership. Those who lead others will inevitably influence their direction, either toward spiritual heights or lowlands. Every leader faces this sobering reality. As you contemplate your own leadership influence, ask yourself, am I leading others toward greater Christ-likeness or merely toward my own vision? Jesus taught His disciples two fundamental principles about leadership that completely upended their expectations. First, the sovereignty principle. Leadership positions are assigned by God, not earned through human effort. When James and John asked for special seats in His kingdom, Jesus responded, "To sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Second, the suffering principle. Spiritual leadership involves sacrifice. "Can you drink the cup I drink?" Jesus asked. The disciples glibly answered, "We are able," having no perspective about the cost ahead. They would learn that true leadership pairs service with suffering. These cannot be separated in authentic spiritual leadership. Jesus demonstrated this revolutionary approach most powerfully when he washed his disciples' feet, the only time he explicitly offered them an example. In that culture, washing feet was the lowest servant's task. By performing this act, Jesus wasn't merely teaching good behavior, but imparting a spirit of personal commitment to servant leadership. Isaiah 42 reveals six qualities of the Messiah as the ideal servant leader that we should emulate. 1. Dependence. Jesus emptied himself of divine prerogative to become dependent on his Father. 2. Approval. God delighted in his servant Jesus, and Jesus delighted in doing God's will. 3. Modesty. Christ's ministry was neither strident nor flamboyant, contrasting with today's self-promoting leaders. 4. Empathy. A bruised reed he will not break describes Jesus' gentle care for the weak. 5. Optimism. God's servant persists without discouragement until justice is established. 6. Anointing. The Holy Spirit's power makes all other qualities effective. Which of these servant qualities most challenges your leadership style today? Leadership fundamentally involves influence, the ability to move others to follow. Military leaders like Montgomery defined it as the capacity and will to rally men and women to a common purpose, while Admiral Nimitz described it as inspiring sufficient confidence in subordinates as to be willing to accept his views. While spiritual leadership incorporates natural qualities, which are themselves gifts from God, it transcends mere personality. The spiritual leader's influence comes from being penetrated, saturated, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. No self-made spiritual leaders exist. They can lead others only as far as they themselves have traveled spiritually. Natural leaders are self-confident, while spiritual leaders are confident in God. Natural leaders know men, while spiritual leaders also know God. Natural leaders make their own decisions, while spiritual leaders seek God's will. Natural leaders are ambitious, while spiritual leaders are humble. Natural leaders create methods, while spiritual leaders follow God's example. Natural leaders enjoy command, while spiritual leaders delight in obedience to God. Natural leaders seek personal reward, while spiritual leaders love God and others. Natural leaders are independent, while spiritual leaders depend on God. The Holy Spirit sometimes releases dormant leadership gifts at conversion. A.W. Tozer notes that true leaders often don't desire leadership, but are drafted by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by the Lord. W.E. Sangster felt God calling him to leadership in the Methodist Church despite his preference for quiet study. St. Francis of Assisi believed God chose him because of his unworthiness to confound worldly strength and learning. Remember, spiritual goals require Spirit-filled leaders. The secular mind and heart, however gifted and personally charming, has no place in the leadership of the church. Jesus selected leaders who defied conventional wisdom, choosing untrained, ordinary people without influence or prominence. Rather than recruiting professional clergy, statesmen, financiers, or professors, he selected humble workers unspoiled by sophistication. Under his guidance, these seemingly unremarkable individuals developed remarkable abilities that would eventually transform the world. Natural leadership qualities are important, but often remain dormant and undiscovered. We should look carefully to detect leadership potential in ourselves and others, then train and use these abilities for Christ's work. Consider this self-assessment framework. Can you master your appetites? Maintain self-control in crisis? Think independently? Handle criticism constructively? Turn disappointment into opportunity? Gain cooperation without manipulation? Exercise discipline without power plays? Be a peacemaker? Earn trust, motivate others, accept opposition gracefully, build friendships, function without constant praise, Be at ease with both strangers and authority. Show genuine interest in all people. Practice tact. Maintain strong conviction without stubbornness. Forgive readily. Cultivate optimism. Identify a master passion. Perfectionism can undermine leadership effectiveness. Setting unrealistic goals leads to false guilt and discouragement in an imperfect world. Effective leaders must be able to keep secrets, yield when others have better ideas, and abandon the pretense of infallibility. Inflexibility that stifles creative people must be discarded for successful leadership. Leadership development happens through devotion and discipline. Many ministry dropouts possess sufficient gifts but lack Holy Spirit control in crucial life areas. The emerging leader works while others waste time, studies while others sleep, and willingly undertakes unpleasant tasks that win no public applause. Examples like Florence Nightingale, Samuel Chadwick, and George Whitefield demonstrate how disciplined lifestyles enabled extraordinary impact. What dormant leadership qualities might God be waiting to develop in you? Spiritual leadership requires specific qualities that distinguish it from secular leadership. While some traits overlap, the spiritual dimension transforms how these qualities function. Vision stands as a foundational leadership quality, the ability to perceive spiritual realities invisible to others. Like Moses, who endured as seeing him who is invisible, spiritual leaders must interpret signs of the times and glimpse divine patterns. Charles Kaufman exemplified this quality, consistently seeing what the crowd did not see. True vision combines foresight with insight, anticipating consequences while discerning present realities. The visionary leader takes fresh steps of faith without foolish risks, catching sight of new horizons even in later years. Wisdom transcends mere knowledge. It's heavenly discernment, the right application of knowledge in complex spiritual and moral matters. While knowledge comes through study, wisdom flows from Holy Spirit filling. It gives leaders balance, helping them avoid eccentricity and extravagance. The early church required even subordinate leaders to be full of wisdom. As D.E. Host noted, true spiritual leadership isn't tyrannical demands, but the exercise of tact and sympathy, prayer, spiritual power, and sound wisdom. Decision marks authentic leadership. After gathering facts, swift and clear decision distinguishes leaders from mere visionaries. While visionaries may see possibilities, leaders must weigh evidence and act decisively. Once certain of God's will, spiritual leaders spring into action without calculating escape routes or casting blame on others. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 all followed this pattern, seeing the vision, counting the cost, making decisions, and taking action. Courage enables facing danger firmly without fear. Paul admitted experiencing fear, but never let it prevent his ministry. Martin Luther exemplified fearlessness at Worms, declaring, "I shall go though there were as many devils as tiles on the roofs," and famously standing firm, "Here I stand, I can do no other." The transformation of the disciples from hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews to demonstrating remarkable courage before the same opposition came through the Holy Spirit giving not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Humility marks the spiritual leader who chooses the hidden path of sacrificial service over the world's flamboyant self-advertising. Christ instructed disciples to reject pompous attitudes and instead adopt the lowly bearing of servants. John the Baptist revealed true greatness through his declaration, "He must increase, but I must decrease." A leader's humility should deepen with time, as demonstrated by Paul's progression from calling himself the least of the apostles to less than the least of all God's people, and finally, the worst of sinners. Which of these qualities needs most development in your leadership journey? Spiritual leadership requires seemingly contradictory qualities held in perfect tension. This balance distinguishes mature leaders from those still developing. Humor is a divine gift to be both controlled and cultivated. Clean, wholesome humor relaxes tension and helps leaders navigate difficult situations. When criticized for including humor in sermons, Charles Spurgeon quipped that if people knew how much he held back, they would commend him. Helmuth Thielicke argued that lines of laughter about the eyes are just as much marks of faith as are the lines of care. Humor proves especially valuable in missionary life. A.E. Norrish testified never meeting leadership without it, calling it a great safety value that helps see things in perspective. Holy anger can be righteous when rooted in love, but easily become sinful when misused. Martin Luther claimed he never did anything well until his wrath was excited. Bishop Butler identifies 6 conditions that make anger sinful: imagining injuries to favor resentment, exaggerating real injuries, feeling resentment without real injury, allowing indignation to overwhelm restraint, seeking revenge, and projecting our own sin anger onto others. Paul teaches, "In your anger, do not sin," Ephesians 4:26, showing that righteous anger must be zealous for truth and purity, with God's glory as its chief aim rather than selfish concerns. Patience in leadership isn't passive submission, but victorious endurance, the courageous ability to bear difficulties without breaking. Leaders face their greatest patience tests in relationships. As Hudson Taylor confessed, "My greatest temptation is to lose my temper over slackness and inefficiency." Effective leaders don't run too far ahead of followers, but stay close enough to be seen and heard, bearing with weaknesses rather than condemning them. Friendship enables effective leadership. Paul exemplified this through his relationships with Timothy and Luke, while David inspired such loyalty that his men risked their lives for his casual wishes. A.B. Simpson earned the tribute, "The crowning glory of his leadership was that he was a friend of man." Paul's letters glow with warm appreciation for his fellows, drawing the best from people through friendship rather than argument. Tact and diplomacy involve dealing sensitively with people and managing delicate situations across differing opinions and cultures. Leaders must reconcile opposing viewpoints without offense or compromise, projecting themselves into others' perspectives. Joshua demonstrated remarkable tact when dividing the promised land and defusing potential civil war when tribes built their own altar. William Carey mastered this art, with a colleague noting, "He has attained the happy art of ruling and overruling others without asserting his authority or others feeling their subjection." How might developing these balanced qualities enhance your leadership effectiveness today? Spiritual leadership requires a foundation that transcends mere technique. 3 essential practices form this foundation: prayer, reading, and reliance on the Holy Spirit. Prayer should be the spiritual leader's priority, yet even advanced leaders recognize endless room for growth in their prayer lives. Leaders should follow Christ's example, for whom prayer was not a hasty add-on, but a joyous necessity. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places for prayer, spent full nights in communion, and preceded major decisions with extended prayer. True prayer demands more than human power. We must pray in the Spirit, both in the realm of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit. Prayer is spiritual warfare, with Christians standing between God and Satan. Before rescuing Satan's captives, we must first tie up the strong man, neutralizing his might through Christ's power. Hudson Taylor demonstrated that it is possible to move men through God by prayer alone. Reading fuels leadership growth. Like Paul, who requested his scrolls while imprisoned, and William Tyndale, who begged for his Hebrew Bible before martyrdom, effective leaders recognize that consistent reading sustains their leadership. John Wesley exemplifies dedication to reading, consuming thousands of books while traveling on horseback with volumes propped in his saddle pommel. Leaders should commit to at least 30 minutes daily reading soul-feeding, mind-stimulating material, particularly focusing on God's Word. Spiritual leaders should read to refill inspiration, challenge the heart, and point toward service. They should also read for intellectual growth, to cultivate preaching and writing style, to acquire new information, and to fellowship with great minds. A single powerful book can revolutionize ministry, as Charles Finney's Lectures on Revivals of Religion has done for many great Christians. Above all, spiritual leadership requires being Spirit-filled. Other qualities are important, but being Spirit-filled is indispensable. The book of Acts demonstrates that even the office of deacon required people full of the Holy Spirit. A person may possess a brilliant mind and administrative skill, but without spirituality is incapable of giving truly spiritual leadership. Christians everywhere have undiscovered and unused spiritual gifts. The leader must help bring those gifts into service to develop them and marshal their power. Often the Holy Spirit imparts gifts that naturally fit the character of the Christian leader, raising them to new effectiveness. The coming of spiritual gifts doesn't eliminate natural gifts, but enhances them, bringing them under the Spirit's control for greater effectiveness. How might you strengthen these three foundational aspects of your leadership? Every spiritual leader faces tests, temptations, and trials. Though difficult, these experiences purify and clarify leadership. As James teaches, God allows these challenges for our growth. Tests are designed for success, not failure, and display our progress. Leaders face the test of compromise, whether to waive principles to reach agreement. Moses' confrontation with Pharaoh exemplifies this challenge. Pharaoh offered four compromises: worship without leaving Egypt, don't go far if you must leave, let only the men go, and leave your possessions behind. Each represented a different form of partial obedience. Moses passed this test with his unwavering response, "Not a hoof is to be left behind." The ambition test confronts all great leaders. When the Israelites turned to idolatry, God offered Moses the chance to start fresh with a new nation descended from himself. Despite the people's constant complaints, Moses rejected personal advancement, showing selfless nobility, concern for God's glory, and compassion for the misguided people. Leaders must face impossible situations as a defining test. John R. Mott encouraged leaders to tackle impossible tasks rather than easy ones to develop competence, teamwork, and faith. Moses demonstrated this when Israel reached the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind them and water before them. Rather than succumbing to fear, Moses stood firm in faith, commanding the people, "Do not fear. Stand by. See the salvation of the Lord." Many successful leaders privately struggle with feelings of failure. Alexander McLaren, despite delivering a wonderful address, walked away overwhelmed with a sense of failure. How leaders handle failure largely determines their future effectiveness. Peter's denial of Christ seemed career-ending, yet through repentance and love, he found restoration and went on to profoundly influence Christianity. Leaders inevitably face jealous rivals, as Moses experienced within his own family. Miriam and Aaron, resentful of Moses' Ethiopian wife and coveting his authority, challenged him. Rather than defending himself, Moses remained silent, demonstrating remarkable humility. God intervened, striking Miriam with leprosy to demonstrate the seriousness of challenging his appointed leader. Moses' only response was to pray for his sister's healing. The costs of leadership are real: self-sacrifice paid daily, loneliness from being ahead of followers, fatigue from constant demands, criticism that chips away at self-respect, rejection from those who resist high standards, and pressure from difficult decisions. People close to leaders often pay an even heavier price. As Fred Mitchell wrote to his children, "It remains one of my chief regrets that I have not been able to give myself to mother and you children more. The harvest is great and the laborers few. Any sacrifice made by you for our dear Lord Jesus' sake has not been unrewarded." Are you prepared to embrace these inevitable tests and costs of spiritual leadership? The ultimate test of leadership is organizational health after the leader departs. Though we often panic at a leader's death, God is never surprised. He selects and prepares successors in advance. Great movements often face crisis when founders die, but such transitions need not be fatal. A true leader must devote time to training others to succeed and perhaps even surpass them. Barnabas demonstrated spiritual stature by showing no jealousy when Paul exceeded his leadership skills. Leaders must multiply themselves by growing younger leaders, giving them responsibility, initiative, and decision-making power. Paul's mentorship of Timothy exemplifies this approach. Finding Timothy melancholic and timid, Paul deliberately assigned him tasks beyond his present powers to develop competence and confidence. Paul shared preaching duties, gave Timothy responsibility for establishing the Thessalonian church, and exposed him to men of stature. His exacting standards brought out Timothy's best. Even unpromising candidates can become leaders. The observant leader discovers latent talent in unlikely people. Leadership training cannot be mass-produced, but requires patient, personal guidance. When God marks someone for leadership, He provides the necessary disciplines, hammering, herding, and shaping them through trials only He understands. Spiritual leadership carries subtle dangers beyond mere fleshly temptations, as Satan exploits any weakness. Pride, especially spiritual pride, is particularly grievous to God. Leaders can test themselves through their reactions to others' promotions, honest criticism, and personal feedback. Egotism manifests as constantly referencing oneself rather than God, while jealousy resents God's work through others rather than rejoicing. Popularity creates dangerous personality cults that leaders must actively discourage, redirecting followers' devotion to Jesus instead. Leaders must resist the temptation to believe themselves infallible despite their spiritual maturity, as even apostles made mistakes requiring divine correction. The illusion of indispensability prevents younger leaders from developing and stagnates ministry. Finally, leaders must find balance between elation and depression, neither becoming euphoric over successes nor despairing over setbacks, remembering God's perspective beyond immediate circumstances. Elijah's depression deprived faithful Israelites of needed leadership. Spiritual leaders must recognize that not all goals will be realized and learn to discern the reasons for depression. In success, leaders should follow McChain's example of symbolically placing the crown on the Lord's brow. As Samuel Chadwick wisely advised, if successful, don't crow. If defeated, don't croak. How are you preparing the next generation of leaders to carry forward God's work when your season of leadership ends?